another edition of the Weekly Teleform. Today's topic is going to be the truth is enough. What is our answer to the accusations and experiences of negativity? The truth is enough. But before we begin that topic, we'll be looking at the call, what we do on this call, what this call is about. And as a simple review, overview, this call is a conversation about emunah. We are discussing and exploring the simple truth that there is a single simple source behind everything. In Jewish consciousness, we would call that emunah, the belief in one God, the belief in one power, an all-powerful and infinite being, and that everything, in fact, is being created and sustained moment to moment by that single power, and that includes what is accounting for my psychological experience, my moods, my feelings, my states of mind. They are not being created by the world at large, by the events and circumstances of the world, nor by past events or anything for that matter. Rather, they are an unfolding divine live feed. And so, for example, a person who is experiencing uncertainty, a lack of clarity about an important decision, a job, to accept a job, to go forward with a date, whatever the decision might be, the lack of clarity, it could look like the lack of clarity is in fact the source of distress. And I certainly acknowledge that having clarity is a blessing. And it can be a challenge not to have clarity. But that is one example of where we can demonstrate or acknowledge this simple truth. It's not the lack of information, the lack of certainty that is the actual source of the distress. It is an experience of a divine live feed. There is a flow that flows through us of divine consciousness, divine energy. We are not the source. We are not the author of our internal state of mind. We're not. There is an internal state of mind that is unfolding. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have choice, but I just want to make clear there is an internal weather pattern that is flowing through us. If you're a human being, you are not going to be exempt from the flow of insecure and more peaceful thinking back and forth, back and forth. Everyone is experiencing this unfolding flow of divine energy. There's no one that I know of that is not subject to states of mind and moods. What happens is that we have a certain hit of emotional distress or uncertain settledness, or alternatively, the same thing is true for we get a hit of warm, positive, peaceful feelings. And in either case, to the degree that we identify the source of those feelings as something or event or circumstance, it's a misunderstanding. If I think that my peaceful state of mind is a direct result of, the fact that my children went to bed and now it's, quiet in the house, and that's why I'm feeling calm, that would be a misunderstanding. I don't mean to say that there isn't a value to having time without children, and that there shouldn't be a bedtime. I'm just saying it's important to know what's true. It's important to know what's true and to live with that truth to the extent that we can see it. That's this mitzvah conversation. The mitzvah of emunah is to acknowledge the truth, no matter what is unfolding inside of us. And so just to recap, the mitzvah that we're this conversation is pointing back to that truth. We're having an experience of life, an emotional, psychological experience moment to moment. And it's coming from inside, from beyond us and through us, the divine life feed, even though it can look and feel like it's coming from outside or from other things and circumstances, that's a misunderstanding. And it's okay. Living in misunderstanding is that's our job, right? Our job is to live in that kind of in a world of concealment, a world of hiddenness, and yet to be loyal to the truth. And lo and behold, that's an amazing job. we could do very well with that job. Managing and changing our emotional states, I'm not cut out for that. I don't know how to determine or choose or change my emotional state kind of in the moment. I don't know how to do that so well. I'm not so well suited to that job. But to identify and look for the truth about what's happening in this moment's feeling, to know what cannot be true about this moment's feeling, I seem well suited for that job. And you know what? That's great. I love having that job. So that's the basic nature of this conversation, right? That's what we're doing in this conversation. We're looking for that simple truth. And let me tell you, it's impossible that a person not be affected by that truth conversation, right? It's inherently meaningful. It's an extraordinary victory to anytime we acknowledge that simple emunah truth, anytime we acknowledge the truth of what cannot be, which is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of lo yelucha, don't ascribe powers to things other than God. Those are extraordinary victories, like unbelievable accomplishments, no matter what feeling state we're in. It's an extraordinary accomplishment. And it is impossible that we will not be affected by that involvement in emunah, in these endeavors. It's impossible. I want to remind you of what our sages say. They say, Yesod HaYesodot, the foundation of all foundations, Ve'omer HaChachma, in the pillar of wisdom, Leida SheYesham Matsui Rishon, is to know that there is a first being. There's a first infinite being that's unlike any others, upon which all existence is dependent. Yesod HaYesodot, the foundation of all foundations, what does that point to? It points to the basic idea of stability. There is no such thing as psychological stability without this clarity. Psychological stability is built on an awareness of a stable reality. There is a stable, unchanging reality. The world looks like it's moving, shaping, shifting up, down, or all over the place, circumstances. It looks and feels like that to me quite a bit. But the truth is that there's one unchanging reality. There's one unchanging reality. That's number one, is that the psychological stability is built on this awareness, this simple understanding that there is one unchanging truth. That's one thing, stability. The other is vitality. Tzadik be'emunato yechiyei, a tzadik, a righteous, successful person, lives, he experiences his life force, his vitality, be'emunato, through his understanding, through his affirmation, his loyalty to this simple truth of the one creator. That truth is your ticket to equilibrium. It is equilibrium. It is vitality. And it's impossible that a person not be affected. I'm seeing it all over the place in the people that, in my own experience and in the people that I'm in conversation with, they're not fixing their reactivity in a direct sense. They're not fixing their anger bursts with their spouse and children. They're not affecting managing their anxious reactions to bills and other things. But yet, what I'm seeing over and over again is that as people give themselves over to this, they're willing to look at this truth. They're willing to consider it and revisit. It is affecting them. Their reactions are shifting. Their world is expanding. There is greater and greater sense of safety that the world is a safe place because they're more and more clear that everything is coming from one source. You know, it's like, if here's a simple analogy. If you're a ticklish person, or if your child is a ticklish person, right, and someone tickles your child and they kind of react, they react. There's almost like no control. They react. But what if you were to tell them, well, the tickle is tickle yourself, right? What, tell your kid who's very ticklish, tickle yourself. What's going to happen? He's not going to laugh in the same way, because it's like, well, wait, is the physical action different? Not really. So what is it? Well, when you know that the action is coming from kind of within you, obviously it's not a precise analogy, because I'm suggesting that, you know, understanding that the oneness behind all our feelings, behind all our experience, is it kind of takes away the otherness. It takes away the power of the other and the circumstances to arouse a reaction within us. In similar fashion, the kid who tickles himself, it's like, well, that doesn't have power, you know? So what I'm seeing is that it's impossible that people are not affected. Their mind opens up, their worldview expands, and there is greater and greater ability to be with the feelings of a variety of a whole types, and their insight is growing, and their capacity to kind of their equilibrium is just expanding. And that's really what brings me to the topic that I want to address today, which is, you know, what is our answer to the stuckness? You know, when a person finds himself with habitual emotional reactivity, habitual thoughts and feelings that are draining and burdensome, habitual reactions or habits, you know, what is our reaction? What's our answer? What's our response to that? It's kind of like the contrast between slavery and freedom. You know, slavery is I have habits, I have moods, I have dark feelings, and I am powerless. They have power. They are real and they have power over me, and I can't get away from them. You know, I'm enslaved. I'm stuck. I'm really stuck. They're powerful. Freedom, in my understanding, is freedom is really, in a sense, nothing has to change except that I understand that there's something bigger than those feelings. There's something bigger than those reactive aspects of me. There's something bigger that includes them. It looks like they're kind of separate, powerful entities, but no, there's one single source that includes those negative feelings, those obstacles, those difficulties. There's one source behind both my aspirations to do better and behind my negative feelings. There's one source behind both of them that's bigger than both. When I know that there's something that's bigger than both, that's the truth. You know, that's the truth. It has an effect on me. The truth is enough to settle me down, to recognize that my experience of compulsiveness, of reactivity, negative emotions, that experience is a job. It's a job. It's like, you know, it's a job, but it's not a foreign power that can exercise power over me. And that's a game changer. You know, that is an absolute game changer when one sees that my aspirations, my desires for good are sourced in the same source as my inclinations toward fear, my inclinations toward reactivity. It's all coming from one place. You know, I just want to remind you, I'll give you a few examples of some folks questions that I've been getting. One is a gentleman who's done an extraordinary job in reviewing a learning project. Nonetheless, right, he's put in a lot of effort. And nonetheless, he has a continual kind of background noise of complaint. He doesn't have it super clear. He reviews the piece, but it's not like sparkling bright in his mind. He's kind of like, there's always a little bit of dissatisfaction. And his conclusion is, well, hello, obviously, if I am experiencing dissatisfaction, it must be because it's once again, not a good project. Like, it's not worthwhile, or I'm not going about it right, or whatever it is, right? If he's feeling negatively about what he's doing, it's because there's really something wrong, either about how he's going about it or himself, whatever. And my take on that is, well, not really. Like, in other words, it looks to you like when you get this feeling, it must be coming from somewhere. Well, it must be coming from poor performance or poor execution or poor skills. Or alternatively, no, it's a pre-existing condition. You know, you're bringing a certain low-level kind of insecure self-judgment into whatever you do, right? There's a certain presence of negative thought, negative feelings. And then you look around and say, well, it must be coming from somewhere. It must be coming from the fact that once again, I'm, you know, there's something not good about the project, my execution, etc. Consider that the feeling is not coming from the performance or the outcome. I don't have it super clear. It's its own experience of the divine in this moment. And it's okay. You're allowed to have kind of a certain recurring emotional experience of negativity. You're allowed. And lo and behold, if you look a little closer, right? This is my input to this gentleman. If you look a little closer, you'll see, and this could be true, by the way, of someone's parenting, of someone's, how someone's showing up in their job or in someone showing up in their marriage. There could be a low, kind of like a consistent sense of complaint toward oneself. I'm not doing it right. See, here's evidence, here's evidence, here's evidence. No, there is, well, human beings flow with a variety of divine emotions, divine thought and feeling. And we make the mistake of conflating it with some kind of a performance. And then we get discouraged. It's just not true. You know, there's one source that is bigger than my feelings. It's not like there's a separate entity called how I'm doing in my learning, how I'm doing in my parenting, and the circumstances associated with them. And that's what's defining my feeling. It's coming from the out. No, it's not true. You're having a flow of divine feelings, and you're allowed to have those flow of divine feelings. They are simply illuminating to you the nature of your divine experience in this moment. And on a certain level, also the concealment that you're experiencing. You know, the lack of understanding about the truth of Anod Milvado. That's okay. You know, your job in this world to discover more deeply the truth about Anod Milvado means that you presently aren't clear about Anod Milvado. And that is noticeable in the struggle, in the agitation, etc., that we experience. The truth is enough. The truth is bigger than our feelings. It includes our feelings. The truth is bigger than our circumstances. It includes our circumstances. Our willingness to look to that truth, that emunah clarity, that lo yelocha clarity, is itself freedom. It is itself freedom. Freedom, you know, a guy can be in jail and he knows the truth about his life and where his experience comes from, and he knows about his moment-to-moment capacity to choose the truth, and he's extraordinarily gifted. He has a level of freedom that is quite special, even though he can't get out of his jail cell. And that's true about any circumstance in your world, in your life, you know, a parenting scenario, a marriage scenario. There's a certain aspect of our life circumstances that we do not choose, and yet freedom is our ability to kind of to see the single truth about our circumstance, to work toward that, to choose that, to be loyal to that truth, to acknowledge. It's just a simple affirmation in this moment. What do I know about the truth of this moment's experience, feeling, state of mind? What do I know about that truth? What do I know cannot be true about that? Bang, that's an extraordinary accomplishment. And as I love to share, and this is an idea that it's just another beautiful metaphor that the Torah speaks of, the idea of the bris melach, the covenant of the salt. Salt is something that is worthy of making a covenant over with the Almighty. What is it that's special about salt? Salt, Rashi says, is a dover habari umavri es acherim. It's something that is healthy and brings health and heals other things. Why? Why is salt something that is healthy and heals other things? Because salt, its nature is a preservative. It brings out the unchanging aspect of something, right? If you want raw meat to be not to spoil, you put salt on it and it causes it to kind of, it brings out its unchanging quality. The unchanging truth about our life is always available to us. There's always an unchanging, simple truth, no matter what is going on the surface. Feelings, moods, actions, behaviors, children, traffic, all of that is on the surface a set of moving, changing parts. But insofar as there's only one source behind everything. In a sense, there is an unchanging quality to everything. The more a person looks to the unchanging, stands in the unchanging, even with one toe, It's a davar habari umavri. It's something that is healthy and brings healing. We will be healed through our looking toward this truth, through our alignment of this truth. And that doesn't mean that we won't feel great distress and pain along the way. But to know the truth is to stand in the job of our lives. To look to the truth is to stand in the job of our lives, and there is freedom in having that job. So we're going to pause here. I want to wish you a beautiful Shabbos and a wonderful week, and I look forward to your comments and questions as always in henry@jewishwellbeing.org or 845-393-1529.